saying Christian greetings to each one this morning. We live in a very complex world, and many times our lives become complex. We think of the things that we process, our thought life, the things that happen in our lives that we need to process, the things that we take in and analyze, things that happen to us individually, the things that happen around us, to our families, to others. As you think about the complexity of life and sorting out life, you understand the burden of this message. The title is Clutter Rubbing Your Spiritual Life. Now, maybe your first thought when you hear that title, you might have the same thoughts I did when I saw that title. What does clutter have to do with my spiritual life? This morning, you want to focus on emotional clutter primarily, but there's many different types of clutter that can clutter our lives. And how does that affect my Christian life? I don't know if you immediately get a mind picture when I mention the word clutter. There's many different aspects of clutter. But I went to the dictionary and looked up what clutter actually is. In the noun form, clutter is a collection of things lying about in an untidy mass, untidiness. In the verb form, it is to make untidy, to make a mess of, to throw into disorder. You know, some clutter is just plain stuff without a home. It's just things in disarray. It doesn't really have a home. Back to word pictures. I don't know if any of you have been in a house, but I've already been in a house where you open the door and you walk inside and all there is a small path, maybe a 2-wide foot path that goes from room to room, and everything else is just full of stuff. Every countertop, every table, every place there is to place something, it's full, and there's not room for one more item, and there's just basically junk everywhere. Clutter. There's no room to live. It's just the house is full of stuff. Maybe you get the picture of a closet or attic or garage that just needs to be cleaned out and organized. I think we can all identify with that. We have times that we just do house cleaning or shop cleaning, and it's time to clean up, throw away the junk, clean up, organize, get things in their place. You know, we Americans just struggle with clutter. And why is that? Well, perhaps the main reason is because we have been blessed with so much stuff and so many options, and we have a lot of things that we deal with. And I would suggest this morning that in an emotional sense, we have a lot of things to deal with. We have a lot of things to sort out, and it can affect our spiritual life. The purpose of the message is to see how a cluttered life and mind can rob us of productivity and freedom to serve our Lord Jesus and reach out to others. It can rob us of productivity and freedom to serve our Lord Jesus. You know, when we observe the orderliness of our Creator God and Savior Jesus Christ, the beautiful harmony of the Trinity, we know that God is a perfect example of orderliness and not one of chaos and confusion. And we praise God for that this morning. It gives us direction. It gives us a pattern to set our lives after. You know, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, Apostle Paul admonishes the Corinthian church that they should do all things decently and in order. The NIV version would say, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. And I believe that should be the pattern of the Christian life, that we would be an example to the world and those who don't know Jesus of an orderly life, an organized life. You know, our lives are meant for worship and beauty and growth. And anything that gets in the way of this is clutter needs to be removed. And so I guess the focus of the message this morning is to stay focused in life. And what is important? And we'll talk more about that. When we think about looking at our thought life and looking at things that we deal with in life, sometimes we just need to rent out the garage and see what all we have here and what is important and what needs to be thrown away. So I don't know. Sometimes we talk about spring house cleaning, but it's probably every day is a good day to do house cleaning in a spiritual sense, in an emotional sense. So we take time, and there's time that we focus on doing particular house cleaning. We take things out and we look at what is important to keep, what is should be thrown away. You know, there's different things that we get rid of. There are things that no longer are needed. There are the worn out, the outgrown. We have the excessive accumulation of certain items. And basically what we have to do is categorize the different piles and decide what is important, what should be cleaned up, what should be refined and kept, and what should be gotten rid of. You can turn with me to 1 Peter 1. Thinking about keeping our minds focused on what's important in life, I was just really impressed with Peter's teaching here. You will recognize the first chapter of 1 Peter as Peter says in verse 1. He was writing this letter to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And this was a persecuted church. This was Christians that were being persecuted for their faith. And Peter reminds them of their great salvation through Jesus' death on Calvary and his resurrection. And he mentions in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He was helping them to see that they need to stay focused in life. That yes, they were facing persecution. But remember that what great salvation you have experienced, what Jesus has done for you. That when he appears, he says there in verse 7, that you would be found unto praise and honor. And so this is what he's talking about. And you get to verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that term, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, we use that phrase sometimes, but that's not, it gives us a word picture, and as I studied into it, it's not the term that we commonly use, to gird up the loins of our mind, but what was he saying here? Well, in Bible times, back in this time, they would wear long tunics, sort of like a robe-type garment, and when they were preparing for action, maybe they were going out to work in the field, or maybe they were going to battle, they would actually tie up the long robe part, and they would gird it up. And that was a picture of preparing for action, or getting prepared to be in action. And so this is the word picture we get here, that we're to gird up the loins of our mind. We're to prepare our mind for action. He says also to be sober. We can't be spiritually or emotionally intoxicated with anything. And we're to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prepare yourself for action. And as I think of this admonition to the churches, I think of that is for us today, that we need to gird up the loins of our mind. We need to prepare our minds for action and stay focused on what is important in life. Because you see that all these other things, all this clutter that Satan brings into our lives that can accumulate, it can take our focus off of what is really important. In Hebrews 12, Paul reminds us, you can turn with me to Hebrews 12, he reminds us that we are in a race. Very, very familiar verses. I'll read verses 1 to 6. Hebrews 12, verse 1. But wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Paul reminds us that we're in a race and we need to stay focused. And there's a cloud of witnesses. I believe that could include those who have went on before us in heaven and those around us, those fellow believers that are running the race. We are not in it alone. And notice verse 2. Notice where our focus should be. It needs to be on Jesus, looking under Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, he had a race to run. And he's our perfect example. He ran his race. He endured hard things and he overcome the cross. And he finished successfully. Yes, the race is a journey of faith. And I believe this morning it takes faith to stay focused in life. But we're all running this race and we all want to stay focused so that we can all win the race. Look, notice in verse 2, he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, there's joy in the Christian race. There's joy in running the race, and there's joy in winning the race. God said he is preparing a place for us. There's a reward for all those who are faithful, and we all want to be a part of that faithful body of believers. Well, as we think about clutter, why would someone want to hang on to clutter in their life? Why would we want to have things in disarray? Why would we want to have things messy and randomly placed or strewn about in confusion or disorganized? Doesn't make things convenient, does it? I thought of possibly a few reasons why we would hang on to clutter. The first reason I wrote down is some people feel secure in accumulating a lot and never getting rid of anything. Maybe there's a false security in just the accumulation of things. Sometimes you talk to people where they're procrastinating having sale because they just hate to part with what they have accumulated. There is that sense of security in having things accumulated around us. We all can identify with that more or less, I believe. Another reason maybe we hang on to things is an obsession with things that we have. You know, we've made a connection with the things that we have. We really like those things, and we just want to keep them. Closely related to the first point. Another reason we might just keep things is, I believe for some, they feel helplessly stuck in their clutter. You know, they don't really like it. They don't really know what to do about it. They feel overwhelmed by the clutter, and they just continue to live in that. Another reason may be a fear of letting go. A fear of letting go. They relish the memories of childhood, of yesteryear, and the things they have bring to them. And that's not wrong. That's not all wrong. But there is a time to let go of some things. You know, some people are just keepers. They relish old things. If they find something in the drawer that they've had for 30 years, that just is special to them. You know, something in the back corner that they've had. That some of us are more keepers and some of us are quicker to throw things out. You can probably all identify with that. Maybe some of the younger generation are just quicker to throw anything out that we don't need today. The older generation said, you might need that tomorrow. Just keep it. And you might wish you hadn't thrown it away. Well, this morning we want to focus on this thing of clutter in our minds and how we need to daily, I believe it's good to daily take inventory. See what for thought process that we are running and running through our minds in those thought loops. The first area that I would like to think about is inner clutter. So I think of inner clutter, emotional clutter. I think about those thoughts of stress and worry. You know, planning for the future, the things that go through our minds on a daily. I'm told that we think over 60,000 thoughts a day. I can't confirm that. That's a lot. That's a thought about every second and a half, I believe. Maybe it says 75% of those 60,000 thoughts are repeated thoughts. So it's something that we keep running through our mind. 75% are repeated thoughts. And some of those have been repeating through for days and weeks and maybe even years. Thoughts that continue to make loops in our mind. Those habitual thought loops. You know, sometimes you might catch yourself, well, you're thinking about that again. You thought about it yesterday. You thought about last week. And some of those might be good to keep thinking about, but there may be some of those things that keep looping through our minds that we need to discard. You know, does our mind ever begin to buzz? And it sort of gets hot on us because there's so many things looping through there that we're sort of overheating our system. You know, I thought about in our modern day that we live with all the communication and information that we process daily, it's so important that we analyze what we are allowing to circulate through our mind. I thought it interesting when I thought about how different it is today probably than just a few generations ago. Like for my grandparents, I don't know how many phone calls they average today. Maybe they average one phone call a day or two. They went to church on Sunday. That was their social life. Occasionally they went to visit Uncle Harry's. You know, that was their social life. Have you ever stopped to count how many social connections you average per day? You know, how many phone calls, text messages, WhatsApps, emails, social postings, status postings? How many do you average per day? And all those things are circulating through our minds. And on top of that, all the wealth of information, the news, either local or worldwide, and we process these things. So do I ever stop to consider how mind clutter could be wasting precious moments, precious minutes, even hours and days of time? You know, I had to think, it's a little like when I go to my shop to get a tool that I need right now. Maybe there's a breakdown. Maybe a piece of equipment broke and I need a certain wrench. And I go to my shop to get that wrench and I can't find it because there's so much clutter and it's not organized. It's not where it belongs. And so I'm wasting time. I'm looking here, I'm looking there. And has anybody seen that wrench lately? Who took my wrench? You know, that can happen in our minds. We have so much, it's so cluttered that when we go to find something, we can't find it. There's too much junk there. So how do we go about clearing the clutter out of our mind? That's what we want to know, don't we? You can turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I would like to just read verses 3 to 5. Here in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, there's power in Christ to control our mind and control our thought processes. You know, we don't fight a physical warfare, but we fight a, what's he say here? It's not carnal, but it's a spiritual warfare that we fight. And he says, praise God who gives us spiritual weapons and power to overcome spiritual strongholds. You know, when Satan tries to circulate those thoughts of worry, those thoughts of fear, those thoughts of anger, of jealousy, of lust, and you put in there whatever you're facing, whatever you struggle with. When Satan tries to circulate those thoughts, you know, there's power to overcome. You know, we can pray the Holy Spirit and ask Him to give us power to stop those processes. He says, by His power, in verse 5, we can cast down and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I'm challenged by that. I'm challenged by that for my own life, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So really, how can we stop the buzzing? You know, in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. That blesses me this morning as I think about God is in control. And God is in control of my life. He wants to be. And He will give me the power to process and to have a mind that is organized and not cluttered with all the things that come in on a daily basis. You think about how our minds work. If you are like me, you sit in a meeting. Let's say you have a meeting for an hour or a couple hour meeting. Maybe you visit with someone. And after you leave that meeting, after you leave that visit, your mind is processing all the things that you thought about. I remember when we were dating, I had about a 2-hour drive home, and I like that time to process all the things that we talked about. It takes time. It takes time to think about, sort it out, decide what to do with all the things that we take in, the things that we hear. You know, we need to quiet ourselves before God. I think it's so important to have times of meditation. You know, we talk about praying and meditating, and in the busy life that we live, I know for myself, it's hard. Sometimes I just need to spend more time in quiet before God, and allow Him to speak and to think about life's issues. Quiet ourselves before God. You know, all that material that's running through your brain every day, whether it's at the end of the day, you need to stop and analyze all those thought processes. What needs to be thrown out? What needs to be refined and organized in our mind that we can think? You know, there's also the aspect of keeping the good and getting rid of the trash. You know, there's things that come in. There's things that we tell ourselves that aren't even true. You know, there's thoughts that we might think that we have been maybe, I don't know where we heard it, but it's a lie. We need to analyze what is true, what needs to be kept, and what needs to be gotten rid of. There's also the aspect of sometimes, you know, maybe we have more than, if our mind is buzzing, maybe we have more responsibility than what we should have. Maybe it's time to delegate some of that out to others. I had to think about that when I was at did some garage sailing this spring. You know, there's some good things that would still benefit someone else, and maybe it's just time to hand it over to them and give it to them and allow them to utilize it. Maybe we have too much, and there would be different aspects of that. That could be in business. Maybe it's time just to back down, and maybe we're overwhelmed with the amount of responsibility. And allow someone else to have it and deal with it. Well, we each have to know our personal lives and know what we can handle and what is beneficial, what is too much. Well, when we think about the good processes, that's what we want to focus on. You can turn with me to Philippians now. I'd like to read a few verses, Philippians 4. You know, after we have readied everything out of the garage, we've looked what we really want to keep, and that's what we want to put back in and organize. This morning, I think that's what we need to focus on in life. What is important to keep and to keep it organized so we have a healthy mind? Notice what Paul says here in Philippians 4. I'll read verse 4 to 8. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." We heard about that this morning. I think that's so important. Am I a thankful person? Verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." These are wonderful verses. Notice verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." There he gives us, I believe there he gives us the keys to having a healthy mind. A thankful heart. Thinking on good things. You know, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. That's a wonderful promise that we can claim. God will keep our minds if we allow him to. Thinking on good things, those things that are true and honest and just, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Yes, it is imperative to quiet our souls before God. And I think it's also important, equally important, to bring all these thought processes to God in prayer and seek his help in sorting them out. You know, as we quiet ourselves before God, God can speak and we can allow God to help us to understand how to sort out all the thought processes. We have many promises. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And again in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's God's desire, that we would have a sound mind. And he will help us to do that if we seek him. As we think of emotional clutter, another aspect of emotional clutter would be that of relationships. And I want to just talk a little bit about that. You know, life is full of relationships. And we live in a world of broken relationships. And, you know, that has created a lot of clutter. Just think with me the aspect of how the breakdown of the marriage has created a lot of emotional clutter. Think of all the hurting people, all the hurting children because of broken relationships in marriage. You know, God has given us strong Christian homes, and that's a wonderful blessing. It's a blessing to us, and it's a blessing to our children as we think about the emotional aspect of a healthy, functional home and how that has blessed us. And I believe, I just trust, pray to God that will continue to bless us. Functional Christian homes that love, parents love the Lord, and how that blesses the children. Oh, the heartache, and you see that as you're involved with Bible study, and as you reach out to these children, that the heartache because of the breakdown of the home and the emotional clutter that that has brought into their lives. Let's remember that all interpersonal relationships need to have Christ's love permeating them. We know that. But do we live that out? In Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. A wonderful verse in how we can relate to each other, put others before ourselves, preferring one another, it says. And I believe this will go a long ways in helping our relationships to be what they should be. As a person, I need to let past grievances and offenses be in the past. You know, there is a path to, there's proper steps to take to be reconciled. And when there's a grievance, those things need to be reconciled. But then after that, we need to leave it in the past. And I believe that's so important for our minds to have, be free of emotional clutter, that we keep our life up to date each day, keep it current. Otherwise, we begin to build emotional clutter. And those thought processes will just loop around that past grievance, that past offense. And we can allow that to just build and build until it ruins us. Well, this morning, it's my desire that each of us would keep our lives uncluttered. You know, these are things that I need to work on. This is not something that I've all figured out. It's something I'm talking to myself this morning. And hopefully, you can benefit. Keep my life current. Keep it up to date. Each day, I need to analyze those thought processes that are looping through my mind. Is it something that's benefiting me, or is it something that needs to be cast aside? I believe that for all of us, there will be times in life that we need to clean up some clutter. Let's take courage and do that. Let's just get rid of it. In closing, I like Paul's encouragement in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. Remember I said that probably the main thrust of the message is staying focused in life. Paul was focused man. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." You know, he had a focus. He was focused on Jesus. He was focused on what is important in life. And in a sense, I think he had cleaned out his house and he had seen what was really important and he had thrown the other things away. It's good admonition for us to remember. Well, let's stay focused on Jesus. You know, he's coming soon for a spotless bride. And let's not allow Satan to clutter up our life. Let's kneel for prayer.